Consecration of opportunities. It could be the parable of opportunities in the terms of what is being said here. Now you see, it's prefaced by a question from Peter in verse 27 of chapter 19, the previous chapter. And Peter turns and he says to the Lord Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore?" In other words, what are you going to do with us? What reward are we going to get? Because we have forsaken all, and we have followed thee. So how are you going to treat us, and what are we going to get? And so the Lord Jesus then comments a little further. He concludes by verse 30 of that chapter by saying, "Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Somewhat rather dissimilar as verse 16 of chapter 20. Now he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning." Now, in this parable, our Lord is comparing the times of the day. He goes through the various hours of the day when the men are being employed, and then at the end of the day ceases the pattern of their employment. I want you to think of the day as being the life of a person. Possibly the day could be the life of you or me. Now, in this day of my life, as it were, he turns round and the man that is an householder goes out early in the morning, the beginning of the life of a person. And he goes out early to hire that person, to draw that person into the kingdom of God, to draw, as it were, you and I into his service very early in our lives. Verse 2. He goes out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard, the sphere of service that he's going to have for us. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day," now you see here it indicates bargaining. He had a discussion with the servants, with his laborers, about the wage, which was to be a penny a day, which was the normal wage of the worker of that time. "He then sent them into his vineyard." Now the householder sent them. In the comparison of you and me, our Savior said, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." And again, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" So he's sending out the workers into the vineyard. And he's sending out you and me, as his children, into the vineyard of the world to work for him. And some he chooses early in the morning. Verse 3, "And he went out about the third hour." Now that would be 9 a.m. That would be 9 o'clock in the day. That's a little later. You say, now why choose 9 o'clock? Well, the Lord Jesus said in John 11, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" Didn't he? And the Jewish day began at sunrise and concluded at sunset, which was approximately 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., dependent upon the time of the year. And so he would have gone out at 6 o'clock in the morning to draw workers, the beginning of the day and the beginning of the lives of we people. And then those who are won for him early in life move into the service of the king early in their experience. Then a little later he comes, 3 hours later at 9 a.m., the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he says unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you." And they went their way. There was no bargaining then. They had to rely upon his justness, his fairness. He said, "Whatsoever is right or fair, I will give you." And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, and that's 12 o'clock, and the day's half done. And about the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and did likewise. Now you see, he comes to others who come into the sound of the gospel in midlife. They're not youngsters anymore. They're not in their teenage years. They're further advanced in life. And he comes to them. And some of them trust him. And some will go into the vineyard then, later in life. 12 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. Now here they are, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You say, Well, why ever would the householder go out to employ men to work for him? The day's nearly done. What can they do in the last hour? What is the good of them in the last hour? But he's gone out there 1 hour before sunset. And they're standing there. And they're idle. But they're in the marketplace. But they said, No man hath hired us. And you see, for those sometimes in life, some men and women can go through life, and they can get right through midlife, and they can go through the 11th hour, and they've never heard the gospel, No man hath hired us. They've never been in a position to hear it. And this shows, of course, and underlines the urgency for simple, basic witnessing by us all. And here, he says, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And you see, the whole pattern is, they were waiting for employment. And there was no one there to employ them. They were there. There are many in the marketplace around us. And they're waiting for the message. And there appears to be nobody there giving it to them. And so they say unto him, verse 7, Because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right or just, that shall ye receive. Now you see, they went, and this was trustful confidence. So when even was come, now even suggests the end from labor, the rest at the end of the day, and it suggests the conclusion of a person's life. Having had the 12 hours of the daylight of a person's life, and now at the end of the life, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, or their wages, or their reward, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Because, you see, he said to them, Beginning from the last unto the first. So you pay the ones who were brought in last first. So those that were brought in at the 11th hour, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they got their wages first. And the others who had bargained with him in the morning stood back and had to watch. And there was a lesson in that, because they had to see it to gain the lesson. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. You see, they'd overlooked the arrangement they'd come to, because they had bargained early in the day for a penny a day. And now, what is the good man giving them? What they bargained for. Precisely what they arranged. Saying in verse 12, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thus made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Or in other words, verse 15, Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Or do you begrudge my generosity? And then on the other hand, surely I can do with my own money what I wish to do. I have fulfilled my arrangement with you. I paid you the penny we bargained on. And now he moves in this. Then he says, So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now you're witnessing some evidences of the sovereignty of God, what God will do in his sovereign will, and you're looking at graciousness, kindness, and generous pattern. Now, the whole structure of the parable and the lesson is that we are all given different opportunities. We're not all given the same. And he tells how he's going to reward us according to opportunity. You see now, in verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and those were they who were called early in their lives when he went out in the early morning. You see, the disciples, the apostles, were called early. In the Savior's ministry, there they came. There was Andrew, and there was Peter, and there was John. And they were called early in the ministry of the Savior. There were others who were called later in the pattern, because you see, there was another apostle called Matthias, and he waited 3 years before he was called. Some of us are saved early in life. Some are saved late in life. Those of us who are saved possibly at the age of 6 or 7, and we come into the family of heaven early, and we've got many years if we live, many years, we've got many years to follow him and serve him and trust him, and yet then there are those who are saved late in life and have only got a short time to serve him. And you say, now, who's going to get the greatest reward? Is the man, well, surely, the man who was saved when he was 6 or 7. And he's going to get a far greater reward if he lives till he's 67. He served the Lord and followed him for some 60 years. And then you've got a man who is saved at the age of 60, and he dies at 67. He's only had 7 years to serve him. Who's going to get the greater reward? According to this particular parable, if both of them are equally faithful in their work during the period they knew him, one man 60 years, another man 7 years, if they're both equally faithful, they will both receive the same reward. One had the opportunity early in life, the other didn't. No one is going to pay the price because they didn't get the opportunity. No one who gets preferential opportunity is going to get better treatment at the rewarding scene than the other person who didn't. You find that they were standing idle in the marketplace, verse 3. The word idle means inactive. It doesn't mean that they'd slept in bed and they got up late and they just drifted out. No, no, it doesn't mean that. The word idle, if you look into it, it means inactive. It's not a sense of laziness. They were just not employed, but they were there. Now, the fact that they were in the marketplace means they were ready for employment, because they went straight out into the field. They must have been clothed, they must have had anything that was needed, or they were ready to go into work. So you see, there are many of us who are equipped and are ready and to go. Youth can be waiting and ready. Some of you may have trusted Christ early. Some of you are looking to him for your service, for your sphere, for your talent to arrive, for your sphere of service. You see, the Apostle Paul, when he trusted Christ, it was 10 years before the high calling from heaven came upon him, and before he went out in his missionary journey. Some of you have trusted him earlier, and yet you feel at this stage there is not yet clearly before you just the scene that you want to follow. Timothy was saved on Paul's first missionary journey. It wasn't until the second missionary journey, some 3 years later, that Timothy moved out into the scene. You see that during the day of the lives of people, of men and women, he comes to us, and the opportunity is given. Now, not all get the same opportunity. You see, back in Israel in their days, one man went to warfare and the other man stayed home to look after the baggage and to look after the women and the children. And the man who went to warfare and faced the foe and fought in battle and he came home, now you would say, how did the Israelite nation reward those men? Surely the man who faced the battle, he would get the richer reward, and the man who stayed home, as it were with a cushy job, he would get less. But no, they both received the same reward, provided each were faithful in what they did. The man had to be faithful on the field, and the man had to be faithful with his job looking after the home scene and the stuff at home. One is converted as a child, served faithfully for many years. Another has never heard of Christ until he's 60 years old. I was preaching in Kuala Lumpur in a little shop church because the Muslim government forbid them to build churches, and where they have a church established, they're allowed to keep it, and the main one there, Jalalimbi Chapel, was that. But then I was invited to move right around the city where they rented shops, and they made the shop a church. And we would go in on the ground floor in a busy commercial area, and the ground floor would be converted to a gospel hall. And the next floor would be the kindergarten Sunday school floor, and the next floor would be where they would have their meals, and they'd have a kitchen, and then they had another floor again. Now, I think there were about six of them that I covered in a matter of about 6 weeks. And in one of those, in the suburb of Chiras, there was a man came to me after the meeting. And he said to me, he said, I just came to know the Lord 11 months ago. He had cancer in his blood situation. He was having chemotherapy. He was going into hospital the very next day, and he said, I don't think I'm going to come out. And he said, I've only had 11 months to trust him, 11 months to walk with him, 11 months to try and serve him. And I was able to sit down and go through this parable with him and say, well, now look, there you are. Now, I said, I was saved as a lad of 7. And there's no point in me hiding my age. You probably will know I'm about 67. Now, you see, therefore, I've known the Lord for 60 years. Now, there have been those periods when I haven't been what I should have been. But I've had the privilege of following him and working and serving him for those 60 years. Come next year, I will have been broadcasting the gospel on radio for 50 years. And up to a year ago, I was doing that every week of my life, as well as other things. Now, I said this to him, and I told him that. Now, I said, here you are. You've come to him at the age of 60. You've had 11 months so far. You could have more months yet, but what matters? Now, I said, look, when we get to the other side, and when our blessed one who loved us and died for us looks at us, he's going to say, you were faithful during those 60 years. He's going to turn to you and he's going to say to you, you were faithful during those 11, 12, 13, 14 months. I said, if each were equally faithful, there will be the same reward for both. Now you say to me, but all that doesn't seem fair. No. That is the sovereignty of God. God can do what he will, when he wills, how he wills. That is his sovereignty. And the whole of God's dealings are in mercy and are in grace. And we trust him for that. We don't have to come in to the discussion of how these things are going to be done. It will be the same. You see, we can never accept it that that man slept in bed till 12 o'clock or till 3 o'clock or till the 11th hour at 5 o'clock. He said, I've been in the marketplace, but no man hired me. And that dear man, 60 years, no one had come to him. Or he hadn't been and didn't have the opportunity and never was in the marketplace and never was able to have the gospel. One man has great opportunities. He's got great opportunities of knowledge. He's got a first-class brain. He's had education right the way up. his parents have been able to send him to good schools or the university, and he emerges and he's got a top line academic thing. Then you've got another one, and he's had no opportunity, and he hasn't got a first class brain. He's a little bit retarded. He finds it very hard doing just the simple basics of life. And many turn their back on him and don't give him a fair go. Well, you say when the end comes, they both are members of the family of heaven. And when our blessed Lord looks at them, who's going to get the greatest reward? You know what I'm going to say now, don't you? Because the scripture shows that. If that dear man who didn't have the IQ was faithful with what he had, and that fellow with all the brilliance and academic prowess, he would have to be faithful with what he had. Now, if both equally faithful, equal rewards on the other side of yours. Mental capacity has nothing to do with it. It depends on what you do with what you've got, what I do with what I've got. You see, one person can move in an enlightened church scene and gets tremendous teaching, and through pastors, very able and capable men who open up the scriptures and teach them, and they're listening to that and they're getting well fed. And then there's another person, he's born out the back of Alice Springs, and he came to know the Lord, but he's got no fellowship. He doesn't know how to study. He's got a Bible, and he does the best he can, but he's got really very little knowledge of the Word of God. He doesn't understand much what he reads, but he's reading it. Now you say, how's the balance? I'll tell you what. That person who's born and grows up and lives and worships in an enlightened church circle, and who is well taught and well versed in Scripture, has got to be faithful to the light they've got. And what information you and I have learned, we've got to be obedient to it. And we've got to answer to what we've been given, just the same as that dear person way out the back there. They've got to be faithful to what they understand, even though they can't understand that much. Each of them, if they're equally faithful to the limits of what they know and have and the situation and the opportunity they've got, equal rewards in heaven. Now you see, once again, just as I drew from the other parables, the comparisons, the fact that don't look at the great preacher moving through, say what a great reward he's going to get and his wife are going to get, and here am I, a mother in the kitchen, battling away with washing up and then out doing the clothes washing. Remember, if you're faithful with what you've got, where you are, if you're faithful to the life you've got in a church circle, then equal faithfulness, equal rewards. Don't look at those who are moving in apparently a much better scene. It's through no fault of their own that that person was born out on the other side. And it's through no fault of his own that that dear man or woman came into the world a little retarded. Each of us have got to react to it. Now you see, there's going to be some surprises when we get to the other side. So the last shall be first. Well, and the first shall be last. Oh dear. The person who thinks he's top of the pole, when he gets there, what a shock it's going to be at the richest man in the valley. You see, the person who thinks they may be right up top, and possibly that others think that, they might be very surprised. And then that dear lady, that dear man, and they don't seem to rise to any great heights, but they're quietly doing what they can do best, and they're doing it best when they get to the other side. The last is going to be first. We're going to get some great surprises when we see that he's rewarding on the basis of fidelity and faithfulness to what we've got and where we are in the whole scene. You see, Peter says, Lord, we've forsaken all. He says, now look, hold on. He said, Master, we've given up all. And we've followed you. Look at the other fellows. They haven't done that. So the Savior turns. He says, now look. No one will suffer for lack of opportunity. You have the opportunity to follow me. The others who didn't, they're not going to suffer because of it. And no one's going to have an advantage in heaven over having a greater opportunity than others. Now, regardless of opportunity, You've got to be faithful in the whole scene of the pattern. Now, in it all, you've got these things. In the talents, you've got unequal endowments with equal faithfulness gave an equal reward. Now, unequal endowments in the talents, one man had five, one man had two. They were unequal endowments. But their faithfulness was equal. Remember, they both returned 100%. So because of their equal faithfulness, they get equal rewards. Now you come to the parable of the pounds. They all got equal endowments. They all got a pound each. But there was unequal faithfulness. One brought back 10, one brought back 5, one didn't break anything. There were unequal faithfulness, therefore there was unequal rewards. One man was made ruler over 10 cities, another over 5. When you come to the parable of the pence we've just looked at, you've got unequal opportunity. Everybody's got different opportunities. Some have got good ones, some have bad ones. But equal faithfulness brings equal reward. You see, every man who was employed, right down to the 5 o'clock in the afternoon man, the 11th hour man, he was faithful for the 1 hour. The man who was employed at 6 o'clock, he was faithful for the whole 12 hours. A bit rugged, he thought, but he was faithful during the period, and he's rewarded. The man is called at the very last. You see, that's the pattern of it. Now, you can say to me, oh boy, you've spent an awful lot of time trying to tell us to be faithful, haven't you? Because that's basically the result of each of these talks. Consecration of our talents, of our service, of our opportunities. And whatever opportunities you've got, use them to the best you can. Use what you've got. Now, God's going to reward you for your faithfulness, regardless of all the other bits and pieces along the road. That's the message of my heart to you. And it's the message to my own. And the fact that some of the rest of us around here will have achieved and done far more than ever I would have done. But you see, anyone can turn and say, well, that man, he's been broadcasting for all those years. What a reward he's going to be. No, 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 that's not the point. The point is, was he faithful when he was doing that? And did he do it with fidelity and genuineness and serve for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Or for the sake of being in the front? Now, there's the thing. Once again, the Lord bless you.